I'm told we're not.
Count
we
one,
can't report it yet.
The jury
we're
finds
verifying.
Him guilty. Count two. The jury finds Hunter Biden okay. guilty. And on count three, which is possession of a firearm by a drug user or drug addict, guilty. Hunter Biden has just been found guilty on all three of the counts against it. Ken?
I think that we knew that was coming. I think we knew that that was going to be obvious because the jury did not take long to deliberate. And not only did they not take long to deliberate, but there was also an astronomical amount of evidence that went against Hunter Biden in this case. And these charges, you know, I mean, this is, man, this isn't even the biggest case against him, which we're going to talk about because that's the tax case. But if you're just joining us at the top of this first hour, the verdict is out. I'm going to have a piece up. Lorraine's drafting it. The verdict on Hunter Biden, this firearms case. Actually, it's the 4473. This is whether or not he lied on his federal firearms form that he filled out, that everybody's got to fill out when they go and they buy a gun. And then one of the questions literally on it was, are you a drug user? And of course, you know, he's like, no, I'm not a drug user. And remember what I told you, he literally told on himself with his memoir. I almost forgot what to call it. His memoir. He told on himself with this. So this is just the latest. This is a lot of stuff to get into today. And then, you know, it's SCOTUS season also. So welcome to the program. Top of this first hour, the radio show, Dana Lash with you. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program as well everywhere. And this verdict, I have to tell you, do you know, I'm pulling up this link right now, do you know that Joe Biden later today, he's supposed to be speaking at this gun control event with Everytown. Everytown for Gun Control. It's the Michael Bloomberg group, their gun control group. So Joe Biden is speaking at that event literally later today. I was pulling it up. He's hoping to energize key segments of his base. He's ratcheting up the rhetoric on gun control. So he's speaking on gun control today, literally today. He's doing an event with Everytown for America, gun control group. He's talking to their Gun Sense University, and it's this gun control conference. I'm curious as to if he's going to make a remark about this or where Everytown has been or Bloomberg's other group, which is the Moms Demand group. That's his other astroturfed group, whether or not they're going to say anything about this. This is what I've said all along, because this isn't about the law. Don't get baited into that. This isn't about the law. This isn't about the law about 4473. This is about consistency and accountability. These are the laws that Democrats wanted. Democrats demanded these laws. Democrats demanded the strictest penalty for these laws. They promoted them. They fundraised off of them. Joe Biden campaigned on these laws. Federal firearms licensees, gun stores, retailers have lost their licenses if they so much as made a grammatical error on these forms because Biden weaponized the ATF to go after everyone. Dexter Taylor is sitting in prison in New York for violating what they claim, violating these laws. So the gun control left should be held to the absolute highest level of penalty as the originators of these laws. That's my position. You wanted them. Now you get to live by them. And we get to make an example out of you. I think Dems the rules. Oh, I'm completely fine with that because that's the way it should be. This is crazy. So he's guilty on all counts in this Hunter Biden case. Now, sometimes, you know, you can often tell, however, you know, it seems like it was pretty cut and dry from the jury. One of the things that I thought was interesting, and I think Andy McCarthy made mention of this before, I didn't know, and I was reading, I was reading some of his stuff, and then I messaged a friend of mine who's a trial attorney in Tennessee. And I had asked him, is it normal for like a parent, she's a stepmom, but you know, for a parent or a family member to go in and sit there and stare at everybody during the jury selection process? Now, one of the things that McCarthy had noted was that, well, you know, with some of the federal cases, like a big federal case like this, I think that the what he had said was, you know, you got the mafia moms or something like that. I can't remember how he said it. But, you know, those are like giant federal cases, right? That's not what this is. I mean, it's a federal case, but it's like far different, right? In some respects. To me, it was weird that Jill Biden was in there for the jury selection process, staring at all the potential jurors, because Wilmington, as I understand it, I've never been there. Wilmington kind of, you know, it's like a small town. Everybody knows the Bidens. Delaware is not the largest state in the world. Everybody knows the Bidens, right? So doesn't it seem kind of weird when you consider that bit of information that she was in there staring down all the jurors as they were going through the jury selection process? I think that's a little weird. I got to be honest. I think it's a little odd. Just saying. To me, it sounds like, I don't know. So that's, to me, that's pretty wild. So we're gonna get in. We're getting into all of this stuff. The guilty verdict is in. And you had Hallie Biden. Hang on, I'm sorry. I got to go through my list of all the ladies. Hold up. This, I'm not joking you. It gets confusing. Because you had the one girlfriend, then you had the ex-wife, then you had the lady, the dancer from D.C., right? You had her. Yeah. Okay, so you had a lot. So Hallie Biden was sister-in-law girlfriend. It was the kid's aunt girlfriend. I just realized how bad that sounded. You know how sometimes something pops in your head and you're like, yeah, that works. And then you say it and you're like, damn, aunt girlfriend. So she testified that she was the one who searched Biden's vehicle in 2018 and found the drug paraphernalia, et cetera, including the crack pipes and all of this. So she was up there. She was on the stand. His daughter was on the stand. I mean, I think that any shred of sympathy or even empathy from potential jurors as to, oh, he's an addict. He's just struggling. I think that went out the window when his daughter was on the stand. Remember the reports? His daughter, Naomi, the one who apparently lived at the White House and got married there and all this stuff. She was like crying and she was very upset on the stand. So I think that the jury was like, wow, can you believe this 54-year-old dude is putting his kids through this? He's acting like he's a, you know, a 20-year-old playboy. He's 54 years old and he's putting his kids through this. I think that the jury was like, nah, when that happened. That's honestly when I think it turned. So that's tough. That's tough business. So we, you know, that's just wild. It happened real quick, open and shut case, and is guilty. This is the obvious conclusion. I think that, you know, Jonathan Turley was saying that their efforts, the defense's efforts to go for jury nullification could really hurt them at sentencing. Because sentencing, they don't have a date yet for sentencing, I don't think, right? I still don't think they have a date for sentencing yet. So, I don't know. Jill Biden, she was on her way when she has been in the courthouse. She was late to get there this morning, so she missed the verdict being read. And that happened really quickly. Which makes me, it's just very interesting how that happened. So we're going to get in and follow all this and talk about all of this as well. But here's the thing. I'm not having a debate on whether or not that this law post-Bruin is unconstitutional on the 4473. I'm looking at the way that the laws are because Democrats wanted the laws this way. And those are the laws that we have because Democrats wanted them this way. And by God, if Democrats wanted these laws this way, then they are going to be found guilty under the laws that they wanted that way if they break those laws that they wanted that way. See what I'm saying? That's how it works. Now, I am pretty straight no chaser when it comes to Second Amendment laws. But I'm also I have no problem pivoting to given to Caesar what is Caesar and given to God what is God's. And these are the laws of the land. And yea, they will follow the laws of the land. So you broke them. So you have to meet the penalty for it. I'm not going to be baited, and nor should you, into using this as a basis of, well, should it be or shouldn't it be illegal in the context of Hunter Biden? The true context is, this is what the laws are right now. They ain't going to change anytime soon because you don't have people with spines in D.C. So this is what you got. You can't do all this congressional work through the Supreme Court. This is what it is. You can't use the Supreme Court as a course correction for bad voting. So it is going to be a debate that will come up at some point. But that's for another time as to whether or not the law itself is constitutional. Now, I actually agree with Amy Coney Barrett and Cantor v. Barr. I think that's the correct thing. I think there are natural rights that are natural rights because they are natural rights and not civil rights. Big difference. That being said, this man violated the laws that they've raised money on. They fundraised off this. I wonder how many meals Hunter Biden ate off of this issue. How many meals did this man eat off this issue? What are they selling? Bags? Rocks? How do they do the coke? I think it's like that, yeah. How much powder did he get off of this issue? How many strippers' butts did he smack paid for off this issue? For real. How many? Because they fundraised off this, guys. They all made bank on this. They made fat stacks of cash on this issue. The grifter Biden family. So, hey, this is the way the laws are right now. It's the way it is. It's a separate issue. The Bruin test, the whole thing, whether or not it's a second issue. So, I don't know. The issue of being on drugs and drinking and all of that. I mean, there's some stuff to debate there. But these are the ways the laws are now. Just because your last name is Biden doesn't mean you get to skirt it. So we got the sentencing that's coming up. This isn't even the big case, though. The big case is the tax case. And that's coming up, what, in September? I was thinking of when early voting started. I don't even remember when early voting started, or when it starts. But I just think that they are probably going to be very nervous about that case because of that. We got a lot to dive into, like I said. So we're running down everything, the latest with this Hunter Biden stuff. We also have, I got some polling for you. The DNC investing millions now. I told you they're turning on the spigots, and that they are in targeting a lot of these down ballot races. We're going to talk about all of that. We're also going to get into, I got some culture because it's Alphabet Month, and I got some crazy stories for you, including 24-hour fitness and Uggs. Uggs the shoes. Sweet. I don't know, man. This is what the topics are today. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared. And Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. And you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping. And that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up. Your ammunition builds up over time. And it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse. And it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at AmmoSquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's AmmoSquared.com.
These jobs reports are just a movie trailer for a bad movie. The month of May barely created any full-time jobs, mostly from the government, and tons of part-time jobs. The headline number may look good, but the rest of it is a dud.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So John Fetterman and his wife were involved in a Maryland car crash. This is, thankfully, they're okay. Fetterman's the kind of Democrat that we've kind of been liking a little bit. We can work with that, right? We can work with him on that. This was yesterday. It was in Hancock, Maryland. It happened shortly before, actually it was 8 p.m. Sunday, but it was announced yesterday. They were on Interstate 70 in Hancock, and apparently he was driving a Chevy Traverse when he hit the back of an Impala. They were taken to nearby War Memorial Hospital in West Virginia to be evaluated. He had a bruised shoulder and was released. Like, we don't need him getting shaken up anymore right now. So wrap him in bubble wrap or something. I don't know. I don't know, like, what the circumstances of it, what it was in order for that to happen. I don't know. But thankfully, no injuries. Plant-based ultra-processed foods are apparently linked to an increase in heart deaths. Vegan fake meats, also probably not the shot either. But you know what? If it's not actual protein, it's garbage. Don't sell me your plant protein. I don't care what it is. Don't. Done with it. If it's not animal protein, it ain't protein. But all of this, like, fake meat, I mean, people realize that that's, like, that's so ultra processed. It's so bad for you. Dock workers have canceled bargaining and threatening to strike at a number of U.S. seaports, according to the Wall Street Journal. The union that represents workers at ports from Maine to Texas has canceled labor talks in a row over use of automated machinery. So a bunch of different terminals, like the ones in Elizabeth, New Jersey, Port of New York and New Jersey, all this. It's the dock workers at East America's Coast and Gulf Coast seaports. And the International Longshoremen's Association, they were the ones who canceled talks for Tuesday, today in Newark. They said they don't like the automated machinery at some of the ports. It violates labor agreements. And also, Jill Biden's 3,600-mile round trip from France to Delaware to spend 2 days at Hunter's trial could cost up to $345,000 to us, taxpayers. That's what we were asking yesterday. World beater cow fetches $4 million at an auction. The animal is described as closest to perfection. What? What? That's a thing. So apparently, I don't know. That's the way it is. It's a 2,400-pound something. I don't know. It's a huge, I can't even pronounce the name of this cow. It's a fancy cow, right? Guinness World Records sold for the equivalent of $4.38 million in Brazil. It's a prize-winning cow. Fancy cow. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
No, there's not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
Oh, so she's talking about J6. We got to get into this, too, in addition to all the Hunter Biden stuff. I feel like, you know what, I feel like I need to get some of the John Ridge's whiskey and put it in my coffee this morning. It's going to be this afternoon. It's one of them days.
I'll join you.
Y'all, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. So this is, and the reason we're bringing that up is because this is that, you couldn't hardly hear it because you had that stupid face panty over her face. But that was all the whether the National Guard was going to be deployed for the J6 stuff, right? And this story with Pelosi, this video that came out, I don't know why it's making the rounds again, but I will say she, because this video came out a while ago, but House Oversight had posted it. They posted about this. And so she went on, was it CNN? MSNBC. Audio soundbite one, this morning. Like, this was posted, and immediately after, House Oversight put this video out. This is what she does. She runs to MSNBC. Listen.
The fact is that the president of the United States, the former president, and his toadies do not want to face the facts. They're trying to do revisionist history on January 6th. But we cannot let us be dragged into their, again, false impression of what happened that day. They know what happened that day.
What happened that day? Yeah, like what happened that day? I'm just curious because we watched it. I mean, we were on air. I know what happened that day.
Yeah. How many guns were seized? Like, man. Oh, yeah, none. You know why? Because they weren't armed.
That's right. To me, this was trending on Twitter.
You ever seen a successful insurrection that wasn't armed?
Yeah, I don't. I don't quite understand how that.
Anyway.
How that all worked. Because they didn't find any of that stuff. Did they ever find anything? Didn't they say there's like a pipe bomb or something that they found?
Yeah.
And then that went away. And there was nothing you ever heard about that again. That was gone. That was it. Nothing else. So I'm fascinated because she took responsibility. She said it was her responsibility just then. And they said it was newly released, but that's not newly released because I've seen that footage before.
And we also, back then, we played the audio of Rep. Clay Higgins, who was showing that Trump not only was green-lighting the whole idea of the National Guard there that day because they had intelligence that it would be quite a large crowd. He was not against that idea. D.C.'s mayor, Muriel Bowser, said, no thanks, we don't need it.
Yeah.
And Nancy backed that up.
And I'm going to correct myself because the oversight had tweeted this. This was after radio. And then, like, within 30 minutes, she was on MSNBC.
Yeah.
That's quick. Who do you call up at MSNBC? Yes, I would like to come on. I've got to talk about this video. It's not me. I've got to talk about the video. Got to come on. She ran over there. She dropped everything and ran over there. She said that I take responsibility for it because she did not tell the National Guard to secure the Capitol. And really, again, I want to say it was a small group of people. Because I have friends, I actually have a friend who is a videographer who does like side work for the wire agencies, right? And was there getting video footage. He didn't even know what was going on until his wife called him and was like, hey, are you there? Are you, you know, safe? He literally was taking footage of people who were wandering all the blocks over from the ellipses to the Capitol. And then they saw food trucks and they're like, oh, let's get a food truck. He's like recording people, like little happy families going to food trucks and stuff like that. And then you got this group of people, rah, 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 and then he runs around and gets that. But I mean, can you compare what happened then to what happened? The night of the inauguration? It wasn't election night. I think it was night of the inauguration. Well, maybe it was election night also. I think there were two separate nights when D.C. burned. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, they set fire to everything. Yeah. And then let's not forget the church that they tried to burn down too. So there was a lot of damage and assaults and stuff like that happened. Capitol, the only death that took place was when a Capitol police officer shot and killed a woman with a SWAT team standing right behind her. I'm surprised he didn't kill more people. So she admitted she took responsibility. Just saying. But I am amazed at how fast she ran to MSNBC for that. How fast. It's pretty amazing. So we've been following, we told you at the top of the hour that Hunter Biden was found guilty. Sentencing date is not set yet. And we will, as we get updates to that, we'll make sure that we get it over to you. But, ooh, man, So Rumble. So the chat's on Rumble, right?
Yes.
The chat's on Rumble because it moved over from, because they changed things. I got to say this real quick. Because I'm trying to figure out, I would love to be able to like get some of the comments on Rumble and like do like a side by side or something like that, because you can do like shout outs. And this is like old school. I feel like I'm back like as a college freshman doing stuff. And then they can do the shout outs and you can do this stuff. So the guy who was talking about Chuck Norris or lady or dude who did a $20 Rumble rant. That's awesome. Thank you. That's very kind. Look at that. Lorraine was the one who told me that. I just happened to look down. I was like, what's that? So the Hunter Biden stuff. When we get the sentencing date, we'll have that. This is not the big case, though. The big case is the tax case. And remember, the tax case was when he and his family were using all their different little, you know, did they register them as S-Corps? How do they register them? They were funneling money through all their little different businesses, like a game of cups or LLCs. They were pushing everything through their LLCs, hiding everything like a game of cups, and moving massive amounts of money that were coming in from China, not just, you know, Burisma in Ukraine, but China and elsewhere. And that's when the bank said, whoa, this is weird. What's happening? There's a lot of money here that is going to trigger a suspicious activity alert. We're now going to investigate this. So the suspicious activity and alert and then subsequent report came from their family doing all that stuff. And then, of course, the IRS is like, wait a minute. Is this money that could be ours? Because, you know, the IRS sees a dollar and they go, mine? They freak out. So they now started getting into it thinking, well, maybe he's not paying his taxes. And then they began investigating and turns out looks like that may be the case amongst some other things. So that case is going to be the big one. Now, Joe Biden said in an interview that he's not going to pardon his son. We all know that's a lie. Because he's totally going to do it. If he were to be reelected, he would wait until there's no political penalty to him at all. And then he's totally going to go around and he's going to pardon his kid. You know he's going to do that. Absolutely. Speaking of Biden, can we talk for a minute about what the hell was going on at the White House? It was the Juneteenth thing. Billy Porter's always there looking like a hot mess in a dress. Right. Goes without saying. Look at me. Look at me. And everyone was dancing and Biden like froze. That's the video going around the world. Juan has it up in the simulcast. Everyone's like moving. He froze. He needs to be rebooted. Billy Porter is that man with the beard and the caftan and the sequenced caftan. You know what? Can I just be real? I'm not a fan of the caftans. Just not a fan. But Joe Biden's standing there. What is just not moving? He is not moving a bit. And you've got Kamala and then the first dude there. That's just so awkward. It's so awkward looking. The memes that are going around about this, I can't even say some of them on air. But it's like he doesn't know where he is. I have thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. Because, you know, this was a guy who was a big segregationist. He literally had said that he did not want schools to be desegregated. He did not support his words. You can find the video on YouTube. He did not want his kids going to school in a racial jungle was his verbatim word. I'm wondering what his thoughts are now that he's standing there in Juneteenth celebration and he's not moving. Standing there like a frozen C-3PO. Beep, boop, boop, doop, boop. Can't move. It's wild. That man cannot move. He moves like a Barbie. Right? You know how Barbie couldn't bend her, like Barbie just couldn't bend her arms. She couldn't bend her legs. Right. Everything stuck out when she said, and Ken was the same way, just so awkward. Or they made her with the bent arms and she was like this all the time. Blade hands. I don't know. He's like that. He just moves like that. But they had the Juneteenth observance. I'm going to tell you, I don't have a problem with Juneteenth. I don't have a problem with celebrating Republicans defeating Democrats. Slavery championing Democrats. I don't know why a lot of conservatives don't look at it like that. I look at it very differently. Everyone acts like, oh, it's so woke. It's so woke. We were the country that went to war over this stuff. And Democrats insisted, Democrats like Joe Biden, they did not want to give up. They did not want to give up slavery. They didn't want to give up it. They just like they didn't want women to vote. They've always been on the wrong side of history, everything. I think that Republicans should claim it as their, like, yeah, we made Juneteenth possible because it's the Christians and the Republicans that defeated the evil leftist ideology that said you could own a person based on the color of their skin. What's there not to recognize on that? That seems like a good thing to do, right? Why are people up in arms, Kane, about June? Why do people get upset about Juneteenth?
I have no idea.
Like, yeah, Republicans beat Democrats. We defeated slavery.
Right. I don't know.
I think that's how they should be looking at it. Looking at it through those lenses. So they had the Juneteenth celebration at the White House with the Democrat president, which is ironic. Very interesting. I know we got to get moving because we've got Days of These United States coming up. We're also going to get into some of the economy to hit you with as well. We were going to have Matt Maurer with the EU or the US EU forum on today, but with the Hunter Biden stuff, we've moved him to tomorrow because we're further breaking down some of the big wins with the EU parliamentary elections. And I don't want you to be like, I don't care about the EU. You need to, because this will affect you. It will affect you. The tide's turning and they're making some major advancements over there. Why are we struggling so much over here? Why are we're battling out? I mean, they're making gains upon gains upon gains. And the goal for a lot of them is they just want to get rid of the EU altogether and have everybody, you know, have individual countries as it was so that they could set their own policies. But you got to make sure that you're getting to a majority in your own country and then getting to a point where you can vote to do that stuff in the EU. So we'll see. We're going to talk to Matt Maurer about that tomorrow. Our friends over at ReadyWise, because you don't want to have to wait for a major disaster to prepare for emergencies, right? You've waited too long if you're preparing or trying to get supplies together after an emergency happens or right before one. You want to make sure that you're prepared in advance, and that gives you peace of mind. It's like insurance in a way. ReadyWise is here to help out with that. This is the benefit of preparing early with ReadyWise is that you can avoid the stress of crowded stores and inflated prices and unreliable services, and you get direct access to top quality food whenever you need it. You can order from ReadyWise.com and you can use promo code Dana20 for 20% off of any regularly priced item. And you know, you don't want to expose yourself to the risk of not having sustenance. And you also want to know where your food's coming from. And ReadyWise, all the food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, and it's packed and delivered from their U.S. plant. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Bankrate found that on average, Americans are spending $18,000 a year to own and maintain their home. That is obviously a lot of money. When you think about it, it's almost like the cost of buying a used car a year. This is 26% more than in 2020. And of course, this is all on top of your mortgage payment, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the cost of energy, the cost of property taxes. And the biggest drivers, according to Bankrate, are the fact that it's gotten more expensive to maintain a home and also the cost of home insurance. Now we've.
Well, yeah, in areas where you've always had statistically, you know, earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and all that stuff. But everybody's broke. Yep. Everybody's broke.
Do you want to reelect this kind of economy?
Because I like sure being poor or having money.
Where's the Jeopardy clock when we need
it? So there's a brand of tissue paper that I like that Costco has, right? And they've changed it. Everybody's changing everything to get because it's everything's so expensive to make. Everything is just awful. It's fallen apart. And the tissue paper that I purchased for years has changed, Kane. Mm-hmm. It's like one ply sandpaper. It's like a Seinfeld episode. And that's when I was like, well, the economy's is all gone to hell. It's all done. It is. This is it. Awful. Have you noticed it with like basic stuff? I've noticed. Have you noticed with some of the dryer sheets are thinner?
Oh
I've noticed it. Have you noticed? Fun size has gotten like super fun. Have you noticed it? Yeah. Everything's, thanks, Biden, because everybody's broke. And then what's this guy doing? Standing there like a damn robot that needs a reboot at a Juneteenth celebration next to a bearded man and a hideous, hideous, awful looking sequenced caftan. Good grief. All right. So he's speaking today at a gun control event. I'm just curious as to whether or not, you know, he's going to say anything about his son being convicted of the very laws that he wants to uphold. And I want to talk about that because I feel like the left is trying to use, well, they're not trying to, they are. They're trying to bait you into going, well, do we like these laws? Should this law be enforced as a defense tactic against what Hunter did to guard Joe Biden from having to talk about it? That's not what the question is. The question, because Democrats, by the way, lost the ability to ask that question when they demanded and passed these laws. So that's not what we're going to talk about. The question is, does Joe Biden support gun control or Hunter? Which one? Because you can't do both. Which one do you support? That's the question that should be asked. We're going to talk about this because don't get baited into it. We're also going to get into some culture. So, 24-hour fitness is Bud Lighting themselves. And so are Uggs. You know what? Just when you thought Uggs couldn't be any more nastier and goofy looking because they look like Clydesdale feet, they found a way. I'm going to talk about that with you coming up. Second hour on the way. Stick with us. I'm so glad, actually. You know what? We were just talking about the importance of education and how words matter. And this is where Hillsdale comes in, because this is an actual learning institution. OK, this is a great Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they really got their finger on the pulse of what's happening. And now, you know, it's an election season. And I always hear the left every election season talk about how they need to do away with the Electoral College. I hear this so often. Got to do away with the Electoral College. And these people actually think this stuff. They want direct democracy. They want mob rule, which is everything that our founders were against. Hillsdale is taking a survey on presidential selection at dana4hillsdale.com because they want to understand your views on this. They're not taking your information. They just want your help in understanding the views of mainstream Americans, because that helps them in their future work defending liberty. And think of it, 18 states have signed on to overhaul how presidents are elected. And it's all being led by the far left radicals. And so they want to figure out how to, you know, they're pushing back on this, but they need your input. You can visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. Start your national survey on presidential selection. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
She knew so long as she was denied, our freedom can never be secured.
What?
What did he say?
What did he say? Is that? Go ahead.
She knew so long as she was denied, our freedom can never be secured.
So long as Sir Jordaner Hyde did?
Hyde? That sounds like what he said.
Remove marbles from mouth, then speak. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That was the President of the United States, who, by the way, guys, he's added to an Every Town event. A Mom's Demand. Bloomberg creates an AstroTurf group on guns and then acts like it's grassroots. Boop, doop, doop, doop. He's on his way to, he's going to be speaking at their little gun control conference thing that they're having in D.C. That's what he's doing today, talking about gun control. Everybody's out there promoting it. I cited the hashtag on X, so I'm either going to get totally throttled or just spammed by anti-gun trolls. Welcome to the program, top of the second hour. And you can stream the show. You can do all that jazz. Find us on Rumble. We're over at Rumble everywhere. And Channel 347 Direct TV as well. Do not get baited into this debate with the Hunter Biden guilty verdict. Because as you know, as we were telling you, he was found guilty of lying on a federal form. It's the form, it's called a 4473. It's the form that you fill out, asks you a bunch of questions like, blah, blah, blah. Are you a drug user? Have you ever been convicted of, asking you if you're a prohibited possessor is what it's trying to figure out. Are you legally barred from purchasing or possessing? Now, there's a reason why, you know, criminals that drive the crime rate don't fill out these forms, as you can obviously see with questions like that. But Hunter Biden, he decided to do something super genius. He wrote a memoir about and merched his, you know, tried to sell his story of drugs and strippers and cocaine. Hookers and Blow, that's what they should have called the book. He wrote this memoir trying to rehabilitate himself. And so that he was going to saw it as like one, you know, two birds, one stone. He's going to make some money off of telling all these stories about himself and then try to rehabilitate himself as this infant baby. He was seized on by drugs and it wasn't his idea or fault to be hooked on drugs and all this other stuff. And I think it backfired because in the book, he was very, very detailed about how high he was and when he was high and for how long he was high and where he was high at. And so here's the kicker. It turned out when he bought his firearm, that's the literal exact time that he wrote in his book that he was high as a kite. And what's more, they found out that he had withdrawn $800 from an ATM and met with his drug dealer literally hours before he purchased his gun. And that's according to his own actual text messages to his drug dealer. Now, Kane, let me ask you something. If you are, because the firearms transaction record, the 4473, the question on here, let me scroll down to this question. Oh, here we are. So they ask you in this, you know, they ask your country of citizenship. They ask if you intend to sell it, if you've ever been convicted of, you know, terrorism or all this other stuff.
Right.
Drug trafficking.
I filled out one or two of those.
Yeah, I filled out a lot of these before in my time. I filled out a lot of these forms. They ask, this is a question or subsection F, question 21, subsection F. Here's the question. Are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug or any other controlled substance? And they also add, the use or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law, regardless of whether it has been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state where you reside. So.
Actually, I don't think that's legal or constitutional. But anyway, go
that's
ahead.
That's a whole lot of questions. Yeah. Dems the laws. Dems.
Yeah.
The laws.
Emphasis on Dems.
The question, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to any drugs or other controlled substances? If you had met with your drug dealer hours before, like withdrawn cash to give to your drug dealer for drugs hours before you went to go buy a gun, how would you answer that question if you were being honest?
Ooh, if I'm being honest? Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have to say, yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, but... Also, if I'm a drug user who just purchased drugs,
literally I'm hours,
not going to be honest.
Well, that was his initial defense. He's like, "The hell do you expect? I'm a drug user.
Right.
Of course, I lied about using drugs." And everyone was supposed to go, "Well, at least now he's being honest," and I guess but let it slide.
Who
right?
imposes the penalties yeah. of lying on the 4473?
But he withdrew money for his drug dealer for drugs. It's not like he was buying tomatoes from a roadside vegetable stand, you know. He withdrew money from the ATM for drugs for his drug dealer per his text messages to said drug dealer hours before he went and bought a gun. And it was the booger sugar, by the way, that he purchased.
Oh, so it wasn't just marijuana. Okay.
Well. Yeah. I mean... It literally is on the same day. And so that's how he purchased his crack cocaine at 7-Eleven stores. He was texting his drug dealer, "Can you meet me at 7-Eleven now? Hey, this is Junior, the one you got that at the 7-Eleven," is one of the guys wrote. And he's like, "Yeah, can you meet me at the 7-Eleven now?" And he's like, "Yeah, you want the same?" That's literally what he wrote. I didn't say that. IGHT. He probably had, you know, get an autocorrect your phone probably or self-correct. And then Hunter's like, "Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm here at the 7-Eleven, blah, blah, blah." He got the Wells Fargo receipt. He has the Wells Fargo's receipt. By the way, you want to hear something hysterical? So Do you know the Wells Fargo that he went to go and withdraw the money from?
Which one?
You know the. You know where it's near?
Where's what's it by?
The Wells Fargo that he withdrew the money from.
Yeah, where's the Wells Fargo by?
It's near Rittenhouse Station.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even making this up. I promise you I'm not. It's an ATM labeled Rittenhouse. It's by Rittenhouse Station, a University of Delaware student apartment building in Newark, Delaware. So wait, let me just get this right. Let's pull it all together. So Hunter Biden, hours before he purchases a gun and lies on a federal form, withdraws money from the Rittenhouse Station ATM, text his drug dealer, I got the money, meet me at the 7-Eleven, gets his booger sugar, and then goes and buys his gun. Just...
Can I point out that there is an impressive amount of evidence that the prosecution had in this case?
The amount of evidence is like the amount of gold bullion that Scrooge McDuck has and his giant vault. The jurors were just taken to a big vault and the door was open and they walked out on a platform. And beneath their feet, mounds of evidence. That was it. That's it. Now you wonder why there's a guilty verdict. Now you don't wonder why. I mean, so yeah, I mean, if you're lying on the form, can I just touch on the fact that it was the Rittenhouse Station ATM? And it just showed up as he got money from Rittenhouse to go and illegally buy a gun after he snorted some booger sugar after buying it from his drug dealer. Just saying. Golly. Just the dumbest man alive. This is like the juicy sommelier guys that he hired who walked into the hardware store on camera buying kidnapping supplies, right? Or they had the zip ties and the rope. Sidebar, if someone ever came, like if you were a cashier and someone came up with that stuff, the first thing I could not be a cashier, like at a hardware store or a supermarket, because I would be endlessly judging people. I would be endlessly judging you. Oh, this woman's coming up with Little Debbie's and Chardonnay, rough night. I'd be judging everybody. So that's what.
So yeah. We see he's guilty on three different counts, clearly crimes. Mm-hmm. What again was Trump's crime? Again, if you had a.
I mean, am I make believing, and or am I being real?
Well, yeah, hopefully being real.
Okay, because I mean, technically there wasn't one,
right?
I mean, for which one? The impeachment? They just didn't like him.
Right.
I'm going to impeach you because that's what morons do in D.C. now if they don't like you. They're like, you're impeached.
No, the 34 felony counts.
Oh, yeah.
Of what crime?
He paid off a chonky escort.
Okay.
To shut up, which isn't illegal. Immoral isn't illegal. If he did, I don't even. By the way, I just seriously, have you seen how much butter costs? I got bigger issues right now. Okay. Apparently bigger issues that don't affect Chonky McChonk, who was like the star of the show when she went in to testify. Just saying. Can I say one more thing? It's really mean, but I got to get it out of my system or I'm not going to be able to progress this hour. Your side piece should not be twice the size of your wife. Okay. Moving on. Dana, that's so mean. I'm just saying if it were true, but there wasn't it. That was like, that was him doing whatever he wanted to do with his own money, and they were trying to make it into a crime. Don't tell Bill Clinton. I mean, Paula Jones was like, look at my check, and turned it into like eight syllables. Look at my check. She was like all proud of that. Look at my check. She got money from Bill. Bill gave her money, you know, because he was trying to get her to shut up. That wasn't illegal. The Whitewater stuff was illegal. That wasn't illegal, what he did. Was it immoral? Yeah. I mean, you know, him I can't blame because he had Hillary at home. I'm not justifying it. Stop. Where are we going? The whole point is that Hunter Biden, if you just joined us, fun fact, Hunter Biden, hours before he went and bought his gun, pulled money out of his ATM at Rittenhouse Station in Newark and met his drug dealer behind a 7-Eleven. But he answered that question, 21F. He answered that question. No, I'm not on the drugs. Totally, I'm totally sober. Not on the drugs. Just wanted to point that out. All right, I need to get into some other stuff. As we talked about the... Golly, I could talk about that all day. I needed to get... Can I touch on some of the culture? Hold up. Where's this at? Now we got to go. Okay, let me... Because we got headlines coming up. So, two things. We've got 24-hour fitness, which has decided to get super woke. And Uggs decided to make themselves even more unattractive. We're going to talk about this. We have these two issues. I know, it's alphabet month, so you can only imagine how they chose to do this. So we're going to get into all of that and more on the way. And we got Florida Man coming up. As we move, our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And they just, first off, everybody's broke, and they want to save you money. Why in the world would you work and use your cell phone day in and day out? I know what you do. You doom scroll or you shop scroll. I know what you do. Or you argue with people on Facebook. That's fine. But just do it on Patriot Mobile's network. Because, see, Patriot Mobile is not going to be giving money hand over fist to all of the things that you vote against every election. They're not supporting gun control. They're not supporting DEI. They're not supporting any of that stuff. And you're going to save money because Patriot Mobile has plans for everybody. Singles, dinks. Families of all sizes. People are like, dink, what's a dink? Dual income, no kids. Thank you, John Taffer. And it's just fun to say because they always talk about it. Businesses of all sizes. And when you switch, you're backing and putting momentum behind the things that you support. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. You are helping to maintain and create U.S.-based jobs. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. And you get free activation with code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So one of the things that we're going to get into this week is the AI stuff and then a lot of this terms of use, like with Adobe and other companies that are really running afoul of your privacy and all of that. But now Elon Musk is also saying, hey, he's going to ban all Apple devices from all of his firms if they go forward with this new AI deal to integrate ChatGPT into iPhones and iPads. He says it's a security violation. He said that on X that Apple's selling you down the river. And he's been very vocal about this. And like I said, we're going to do a deeper dive into this because this isn't just some of the stuff that Apple's doing. There have been stuff like this with Adobe, like with Photoshop and some of the other Adobe properties, things like that. But I mean, if he were to ban Apple devices, because I would imagine that, I mean, that would probably mean for social media, right? Apple partnering with AI is problematic. And you all already have like Windows that's been criticized. And everyone was saying that they hoped that Apple wouldn't fall to like some of the same stuff. But if it goes to the level of the operating system, he said that he's gonna ban it. But we'll see. But Microsoft, they've said that, you know, that the Windows 11, that they want to have it be to where they remember it remembers everything that you do. So this is coming, and it's something you need to be aware of. And we're going to start talking about it more in the days to come. So in addition to this, I just lost my thing. In addition to this, we also have Martha's Vineyard. What? Yeah, I can't. Why are you over there grinning? Associated Press. Martha's Vineyard is about to run out of pot. That's led to a lawsuit and a scramble by regulators. Okay. What? That's the thing. They said, Nick Perry at the AP can't write a lead to save his life. Apparently, even though Massachusetts voted to opt to legalize marijuana 7 years ago, they said the state's Cannabis Control Commission has taken the position that transporting it across the ocean runs afoul of federal law. So apparently they're running out of stuff and now they got to fight the regular. Oh, my gosh. You know, look, go back to J school. Learn how to write a nice story. No one wants to weed through your story about an 81-year-old woman right there in the top paragraph. Good grief. Also, pharmacists cite the highest number of drug shortages since 2001. For the first 3 months of 2024, there were 323 active drug shortages, the highest number since 2001, according to the University of Utah Drug Information Service. It's collected quarterly. They follow up with the drug companies to verify that the shortage exists, how long it's expected to last. Chemotherapy agents, antibiotics, ADHD, pain medications, hospital crash cart stuff, that's sort of the stuff that they've been having shortages on. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us as we move. Our partners at Help Bring You Free Radio. It's the folks over at Black Rifle Coffee. It's the best coffee in America. If you haven't tried it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's a perfect time to do it. They are one of the most popular coffee companies in America, which makes all the Marxist coffee companies super angry because it's veteran-owned and veteran-run, and everything down from the roast to the bag art that they do, everything pays homage to American culture and military history. It's owned and run by veterans. They hire veterans in active duty. They support law enforcement. Every single bag that they make is roasted right here in the U.S. of A. They don't white label it like some of these other posers do. They actually roast the beans themselves. They have a variety of choices, too, for your consumption. Ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. You also can find the apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything. And join the coffee club because you get your favorite brew or brews. You can choose how often you want it delivered, and you get free shipping, and it shows up magically. The Coffee Fairy drops it off on your doorstep. It's awesome. Try it for yourself today at BlackRifleCoffee.com and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're all ghosts. And new garments trying to take us back. Well, there are. Taking away your freedoms, making it harder for black people to vote. Or have your vote counted. Closing doors of opportunity. Attacking the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. If you can believe it, banning books about black experiences.
What?
Trying to erase.
No one banned any books. Sorry, pegging's not a black experience. It's not. Don't Google it. Welcome back to the show. Don't welcome. Kane's dead. We killed him. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour.
Physical pain.
Well, you know, they won't Google. Don't. Don't do that to your search history. Just warning you.
Every time
you
say don't, you're going to make them
Warning them as a courtesy. But you know I'm right. Come on. That's what those books were about, dude. And parents were like, why do our kids have to learn about gay sex? In elementary school, in a book, in a graphic novel that shows the people doing it. Why is that a thing in the school libraries? And the left is like, how dare you not like black history? Because that's what white progressives think black history is.
And with the polling right now amongst African Americans with Trump, why would Trump want to stop them from voting? It's literally makes
yeah,
no
that's
sense
the thing.
At all.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to really understand Joe Biden's thinking here. Like, well, black Americans aren't supporting him. So let's tell them that the people they like are trying to get them to not vote. What?
Bold strategy, Cotton.
They keep wheeling this argument out. And I don't think it's working anymore. It's like when they told everybody they were racist because they didn't vote for that old white lady in 2016. What? Oh, my gosh. So again, welcome back. Bottom of this second hour, Dana Lash with you. And whoo, my goodness. So we've been talking about the Hunter Biden case. And I was telling you, too, that I don't want you to get baited into thinking that you have to immediately render a decision or render a statement. You have to show where you stand as to your opinion on the veracity of the law that requires a 4473, that federal form to be filled out when you purchase your gun. That is a defensive tactic that Democrats are trying to play in order to make it seem like they didn't really foobar this up, right? So that's number one. Number two, I actually would LOL my face off if this ended up becoming like a Biden v. the U.S., a Second Amendment case where Hunter Biden takes it all the way to SCOTUS. And in a very Cantor v. Barr situation, you guys remember the case of Cantor v. Barr? We talked about this before. This was in, I think, one of the lower courts with Amy Coney Barrett. And she made the determination that essentially nonviolent white collar crime at the felony level doesn't necessitate a revocation of your Second Amendment rights, because absent from that is the presence of any kind of immediate threat and or violence. And that was the case. And then, of course, we have the Rahimi case, where it was a guy who had a domestic violence restraining order against him, and he's trying to get that overturned because the argument is that natural rights mean they're not civil rights. Civil rights being created in a court by men for men. Natural rights you are endowed with by way of being a citizen of the U.S. or being born in the U.S. As a citizen. And that's something that the government cannot take away. The mention by Barrett, by Coney Barrett with Cantor v. Barr about the danger and immediate threat, that might be something that comes up as a debate if this ever goes forward into SCOTUS, because there might be something to argue there based on the law of the previous law of the colonies at the time. And Heller, Antonin Scalia, or sorry, Antonin Scalia, I'm thinking of Blinken, because I got a headline about Blinken coming up going to Israel. But Justice Scalia at the time in Heller had said that there were certain restrictions at the time that might lend, you know, some substance to arguments like a friding, which is, you know, the olden time brandishing, etc., and that required unusual weapons like a head axe. I wrote about this in depth many times. And he also had mentioned, too, an immediate threat, but we're talking like an immediate violent threat, which Coney Barrett noted in Cantor v. Barr, which was absent in that case. And it was also in the Rahimi case as well as being brought up. Hunter Biden touched on all of these cases. He said back in December of last year that it was that's an abridgment of his Second Amendment rights. So my point is that they could argue a new aspect of this is that it doesn't matter if you're drinking or doing drugs. That does not mean you forfeit your natural right of Second Amendment. Now, I'm all for exploring that later, because I think any abridgment, and I'm not a person, I don't smoke pot, I don't do drugs, I don't do anything like that. I'm only a casual drinker. But I do think that for the purpose of differentiating between natural and civil rights, there have to be certain acknowledgments as to whether or not rights can be abridged by government. And if you want to add the caveat of barring any kind of like violent immediate threat, you know, fine, have that debate. But There is an argument there, and I'm pretty straight no chaser on 2A issues, but that's not what this case is about, because, again, these are the laws that Democrats wanted. Democrats demanded these laws. They not only implemented these laws, they expanded these laws. They passed stricter regulations, not just federally, but state by state, and when they couldn't get it passed, they had the ATF do it for them. So because of that, this is what the law is. This is what they wanted. He's the president's son. They fundraised and ate off the back of this issue for years. You have to face the full penalty for breaking the law. And by the way, the ATF has a huge list. It's a very helpful list of all of the people who have been convicted of all of this stuff. All of these. I mean, I'm looking at, it's over at ATF, and they have those who lied on their 4473s, case after case after case. Like, for instance, they have a guy who, Eddie Morrison from Oklahoma, he was sentenced, time served, 16 months federal custody. He lied on his 4473. Herberto Flores, 29, of Oklahoma, he lied on his 4473. He got prison time. All of these other people who lied on their forms, they got prison time. Or they would get probation, or they'd get heavy fines and probation. A lot of them got prison time, depending on the severity of what they lied about. So, you know, just putting it out there, equality is measured by how equal you are under the law, before the law, and under the law after you break it. And I'm just wondering whether or not that equality is applicable to Hunter Biden in this case. So don't get baited into thinking that this is an issue as to whether or not you affirm or do not affirm this law. That is a separate debate from this is the law Democrats wanted. So this is the law they wanted. This is the law as it is. And he broke it. He violated it. If you want to change it, you can change it. And if it ends up being unconstitutional, they'll probably like retcon his conviction into the trash can. But that's, again, that's a separate thing. This is, he violated the law that he and his ideology and his party and his dad pushed for, campaigned on, advocated for, demanded, pointed the finger and called everyone else murderers when they didn't get these strict laws passed. So when you're found violating, so when these advocates are found violating these laws, they think they should get special consideration for it. Suddenly you want to cite Second Amendment protections? You did everything possible to limit those protections. Now you want to fall under their care? Really? So they're two separate issues. Don't be baited into thinking that they're one and the same, and that you have to affirm or not the credibility or the veracity of the law as it is, because the issue isn't the law right now. The law is the law. That's a separate debate. The issue is he broke the law he wanted that they thought was fine right up until the moment he was convicted. That's the issue. Because I see the debate growing. Now, here's the other thing I think that it's important to point out. That this is not the biggest case against him. The biggest case against him is the tax case. Now, that's supposed to be, what is it, right around in September? The biggest case against him is the tax case. Now, I'm wondering how hard they're going to go at Hunter Biden on that tax case. And I'm kind of wondering if they're going to get, because that trial's set for September. And I'm kind of wondering what that trial's going to look like, because this is where his dad is brought in right before election. Oh, Joe Biden is absolutely a part of this. Joe Biden is part of it because he's a part of the business. Joe Biden's part of it because his name is on some of the accounts that a lot of this money was shuffled to. If you remember, he's charged with several counts. He didn't file his tax returns, didn't pay his taxes. He's got felony counts in there, tax evasion, filing false returns. All of this was started when, all of this began when he began getting all this money in from all these foreign countries like China and Ukraine, Burisma. And they started playing a game of cups. They started hiding all their money in all these different accounts. And the accounts, they had all their different families' names on them. There are all these emails saying the big guy gets his 10%. Joe was involved in it. There's enough evidence there that there's photos of Joe Biden sitting at a dinner with the people that he was on record saying that he never met and never sat down at a dinner with. So you tell me. So his dad is implicated in this case. Now, I think that I have an inkling that if there was any case that they would probably move heaven and earth to get him off these charges, it's going to be this. And then I kind of wonder, is the only reason that they allowed a conviction in this case, the decision which we saw today, so they can act like they went hard on him and that justice is blind, but it's really not, because they're going to get him off the tax case so they don't implicate Joe Biden right before an election? Am I overthinking that, Kane?
No, not really. It's kind of the way I was thinking too, actually.
Think about it. Do you honestly think Democrats who manipulated a FISA judge and laundered money and laundered stories through the press via Fusion GPS and then took the stories based on the discredited oppo that the FBI refused to verify and would not stand by? They laundered it then because the FBI wouldn't stand by it. So they decided to play the game of public court of public opinion. So they laundered all this stuff through Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS peddled all this stuff out to all these reporters who were excited about having scoops that they could put their names on. And then they took all the stories that came from that and they took it to the FISA court and said, oh my gosh, look at this stuff. Ah, you got to give us a surveillance warrant on these guys. So the FISA judge said, okay, knowing that they didn't even go through proper protocol to get this warrant. They didn't tell them that Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC paid for this stuff and that it filtered through their third party oppo firm to all the members of the press. And they got surveillance warrants against people. So do you think that Democrats would do that as a way to claw back a free and fair election from you in 2016? Do you think that they would not stoop so low as to manipulate a court case on tax charges that implicate Joe Biden right ahead of an election? I think that's why Hunter got convicted today. I'm not celebrating Schadenfreude. I think it creates a very interesting problem. I don't think that Democrats are good strategists, and I think that this administration is one of the dumbest damn bunch of people I've ever seen in my life in politics. Or are they? Not them themselves, their advisors. Let's let Hunter out. Hunter, you got to go out here and hang out to dry for the family. They're going to get you on the gun charges for the family because you got Uncle Jim on this too with the tax case. Hell, you got Jill on some accounts. You got the whole fam damnly on all this stuff. Do you honestly think right before an election, when they're neck and neck with Trump in battleground states, within the margin of error in the states where Trump is leading, do you honestly think that they're going to gamble that what? So they can do a quick switcheroo and bring in Gavin Newsom? Every Democrat outside of California hates Gavin Newsom. Hell, Democrats in California hate Gavin Newsom. No. So I'm telling you, you got to watch this. As we move with partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Gold Co. because they understand that when you have government spending the way that it's spending, when you have rampant inflation, when you have all of this stuff happening, you want to make sure that you are protecting your savings and your retirement. And you can do that with Gold Co. They've got a free 2024 wealth protection guide that's going to arm you with the facts about how precious metals could help you in the face of inflation, war, and exploding national debt. And you could be eligible for up to 10% instant match and bonus silver. It's all while supplies last, so don't sleep on it. They've got thousands of five-star reviews at Gold Co. They've helped people like you and me, yes, you and me, place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And one of their most unique qualities is that education-first stance that they have. They want to make sure that you understand, as the buyer, the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. It's a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. So visit DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A 73-year-old naked Florida man defends his alleged naked stroll through the park during his arrest. He says there's nude beaches in Florida. What? Yeah, well, that's what was being said here. Good heavens. I'm dealing with a pop-up ad.
Naked in public because there's nude beaches somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. This was in Lady Lake, Florida. A guy find himself behind bars. He was caught walking around his neighborhood totally buck naked like a weirdo. And it was in broad daylight. It was in broad daylight. Rolf Braun, 73, was arrested. It was 1:30 in the afternoon. Arrested and charged with exposure of sexual organs and resisting arrest. It unfolded at the Recreation Plantation RV Resort in Lady Lake. And it was on the Lord's Day of all days. Good heavens. They said that according to the arrest affidavit from Lady Lake Police Department, he was approached. Witnesses called the police. He was walking around his RV lot totally nude. And then when Braun answered the door after an officer made contact with him at his camper, he answered the door, quote, wearing a T-shirt as shorts with his bits exposed through the neck.
Oh, God.
No. And his excuse was, there are nude beaches in Florida, so I can be nude in this neighborhood. It's not really how that works, but okay. Yeah, let's see. A Florida man witnesses a bear fight with two alligators. And this was Fox Orlando, Channel 35. A bear went paw to snout with two alligators in St. John's River. I mean, really, Florida is the Australia of America. Stick with us, third hour on the way.
Nor every presidential family is part of the American family. That's the way it works. This is a tragedy for the Biden family, precipitated in large measure by the death of Beau Biden.
What?
For 8 years, the Attorney General of Delaware. Not the favored son, but the more prominent of the two sons. Hunter Biden's problems began to spiral, that is a word that is used in addiction therapy with some frequency, after Beau's death. He simply could not grapple with it. He made a ton of terrible
Major
decisions involving many members of the Biden
family. For Hunter Biden here. Excuses. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the third hour. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey will join us at the bottom of the hour. Apparently, Biden's is expected to speak on gun control at a Moms Demand Every Town for Gun Control event. Right. So soon, right after the case. And then he changed his schedule, according to White House press pool. He changed his schedule and he's going back to Wilmington, Delaware tonight after this guilty verdict. He apparently was not scheduled to do so, but now he is. Interesting. So he's expected to speak, I guess, here any moment. And I want to add this too, and I added this on X with the video that we have on the Dana Show X account. Let's be really real here. They convicted Hunter Biden on the easiest charges with no connection to Joe or the rest of the family. And they did that so they could pretend that justice was served, right? While the family walks over merging out the VP office and the White House to enrich the Biden family. We know that. So it's important to note that. The second thing is, and by easiest charges, the law that Dems wanted that we live under now. To say that gun control advocates should live under the laws they create is not an endorsement of those laws. It's acknowledging their hypocrisy. So don't get it twisted. I see some people trying to get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. So that's important to note. And it is. Do you honestly think that they're going to convict him in September, the tax trial? I don't know. I don't know that I believe that they will. I really don't. Think about all of the things that this family is tied to. All of the money that they've been making. All of the, the stuff with China and Ukraine and everywhere else. Money laundering. Think about it. All of the stuff that the laptop showed. That's the other thing. The laptop was real. The laptop was real. Hunter Biden should have registered as a foreign agent because he was advocating for and lobbying for the energy company, CEFC in China, through Rosemont Seneca, Burisma in Ukraine. If Paul Manafort can go for not being registered as a FARA, under FARA, then why Hunter Biden gets special treatment? That's just the thing. If you want certain laws, regardless of whether or not the rest of us do, you also have to be held to account under those laws. You don't get special privileges. And for Major Garrett on CBS to go, he never got over his brother. Stop. That's so weak. Shame on you. That is so weak. I don't know. Do you ever think, Kane, that we're going to see any actual justice delivered on this financial stuff that the family's involved in?
The penalties with those are far more than the ones that he was charged with today and found guilty of today. I just think that they knew that there was no way he would have been found innocent on today's charges, so they have to merchandise this. And so you're going to see them say, well, look, guys, the Department of Justice isn't biased because, look, we convicted Hunter. Mm-hmm. We did it. When obviously there was no possible way you could get him off of this today. But we'll see what happens with the tax stuff, even though those penalties are much harsher.
President Biden was asked whether or not he would accept the outcome of the conviction. And he said right after the verdict was released, he said he would respect the judicial process. He said, I'm a president, but I'm also a dad, blah, blah, blah. We love our son. Proud of the man he is today. He's like a 50-something-year-old dude. He says that he's not going to pardon him. I don't believe that. I don't think anybody else does either. If he's reelected, what he'll do is wait until there's no political penalty, and then he'll do it. Then he'll do it. Now, because it's Alphabet Month, D-Day only gets a day this month. And day. Alphabet, how you have sex gets a whole month. 24-hour fitness internal documents show, and this is Carlos Tracheris who has this story, show that transgender members and team members may use whichever locker room they prefer, and that pride and BLM expressions are allowed all year, but the flag and U.S. logos are only for certain holidays. And they say that member privacy, transgender individuals do not always have to basically tell you that they're transgender. You just got to just believe. They don't have to prove anything to you. And they said that Religious concern. What if a member or team member states they have religious objections to sharing the locker room with a transgender member or team member? And the answer to this is a member's or team member's religious beliefs do not trump a transgender member's or team member's right to equal and full access to the club. So if a dude who identifies as a woman wants to take his wang out in front of you and show you his lady balls in the locker room, you got to go along with it. Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter if you feel threatened. You're a bigot if you do. True. Is this not, this is wild. And they said no proof is required for gender affirmation or anything like that. And they said that if you require someone who is transgender to use the facility to which their bits are from, then you're violating their right to privacy, but you're not violating the right to privacy of like the women or the dudes or anybody else. They have zero concern for safety or comfort. In there, and these are memos that were circulated within the company. Wow, I wouldn't want to go there. Can you just be a gym?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you have no right to make women feel uncomfortable and threatened. If a guy out on the street were to drop trow and show you his Frankenbeans, that's an arrestable offense. But if he goes, wait a minute, I'm a woman, and he does it in the locker room, you're the bigot if you feel uncomfortable. Right. And we all know that no one ever would exploit that rule at all whatsoever to prey upon anybody, right? We all know that. It's just wild to me. But that's the way it is. Now, can we talk about the UGG stuff? Jeez, I can't even believe I'm talking about UGGs. What? I don't hate UGGs. I have a pair of house slippers that are UGGs. I never wear them outside of my house. There's several things I will not wear outside of my house. I agree with the late Karl Lagerfeld, who said that sweatpants were a sign of giving up in life if you wear them out publicly. If you want to wear joggers, fancy sweatpants, I just don't like sweatpants. I don't like any of that out in public. I don't care if you're going to the store. No one's asking you to dress up like you're going out to a fashion show, but do dress up like we are a civilized society. And, you know, just saying, don't wear pajamas out. And UGGs only make sense to me in a casual setting during the winter. And I only think that the boots make sense. All their other shoes are weird looking. Everything. What is up with the platform stuff? Why does every woman want to look like a damn Clydesdale? Why do you want to clomp around like a giant horse? Clomp, 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 clomp. I hate the big giant platforms. Your feet look enormous and it makes your legs look like chicken legs. Stop it. I think that platform shoes are a psyop on women to make you look stupid. All right. So UGG partnered with the... Do we have video of this dude?
Do we?
Oh, yeah. There's video. It's on my rundown. I don't know who this guy is. He has said before that, quote, little girls are kinky. And if a dude uses a bathroom, and the woman feels uncomfortable, it's her fault. He's a dude. He's a hairy dude. They're butt lighting themselves. And I don't know why they feel like they gotta use this guy. His name's Alok Menon. And they're using him for Alphabet Month. And they've got a video of him running around. I think he skinned Oscar the Grouch for a coat. And he's running around in a pink dress. And show some of this video, Juan. We probably can't play the audio. You can show the video. I can't play the audio because they'll cite us for copyright violations. So they're using this guy to promote UGGs, the shoes. What? I'm trying to understand this. That doesn't make me want to buy your shoes. They have a whole page for this guy on their UGG website.
The problem is trying to understand it.
Does he wear shoes differently because he thinks that he's a girl? And he wants to, I don't know. Do you wear shoes on your hands? Is that how you wear shoes? I identify as wearing my UGGs on my hands. Look, it's UGG hands. I don't, like, what is that? What it is? Like, what is it? They're shoes. It doesn't make sense. So they say it's about his collection. And it's about his shoes are ugly. It's the intersection of self-expression and pride fashion. And it just sounds like all word salad. Like, we live in a world that's taught us that we can only belong if we minimize ourselves. No one's thinking that you're minimizing anything. So he made a really a dress that looks like he skinned a Muppet. This is 100% real Muppet. It's this pink dress that he's wearing. 100% real Muppet. And then he's got these weird, ugly platform grandpa slippers. And no woman in her right mind would wear that, by the way. I don't know. I think it's ugly. Why do we got to do this stuff? Also, can I be real? I've met gay people. They're gay people that are, I'm related to some of them. Isn't the stereotype that they have taste, typically? That stereotype kind of came from somewhere, right? I don't think he's gay. I don't believe you because you are too damn tacky. I don't believe you. Prove it.
Just a piece.
Go kiss that dude. Prove it.
It's a piece of flair.
It's so ugly. Do you see this stuff? It's so ugly. Ugh. Why would you want to do that? Nobody wants to wear that. No, you know, the only people who are going to buy that are him. Look at this. Look at this jacket. It's 100% Oscar the Muppet.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a couple of new last-minute headlines here. A judge has blocked Florida's transgender youth care ban for minors. Youth care ban meaning genital mutilation surgeries, experimental surgeries. A Florida judge has called a federal judge has called Florida policies restricting surgeries on the genitals, etc., puberty blockers, things like that for minors, unconstitutional, and has blocked the state's policies from being enforced. Judge Robert Hinkle, of course it is, in a 105-page decision on SB 254, said that the opponents of transgenders are not free to discriminate against transgender individuals just for being transgender. He seriously wrote that. And he said that bans on puberty blockers for minors, things like that, and even hormones, putting them on hormones when they don't need it, is unconstitutional.
Just give us the long-term data on that. You must have it then, huh?
How dare you ask Judge Hinkle for that? And this from, I think this is New York Post, 6 Russian nationals suspected to have terror ties to ISIS have been arrested in a coordinated sting operation spanning L.A., New York, and Philly. 2 ICE sources confirmed to the Post that they arrested 6 people who hail from Tajikistan over the last week after the FBI contacted the agency to warn it. Wow. So these are new headlines that are just in. Also, the old hotness was DVD-sized hail. The new hotness is pineapple-sized hail. Apparently, in one of the recent storms in Texas, literally hail the size of a pineapple. It's a new state record in the Texas Panhandle. Oklahoma City TV station KWTV discovered the hail. It's pineapple size. That's insane. That can kill somebody. Holy cow. A study found that elephants call each other by name. Elephant. I actually don't know. They said researchers used an AI algorithm to analyze calls by 2 herds of African savanna elephants in Kenya. And elephants call out to each other using individual names. And they said that dolphins and parrots address each other by mimicking the sounds of others from their species. Elephants are the first non-human animals to use names that do not involve imitation, according to researchers. That's kind of interesting. Are we going to be able to talk to elephants, like literally? I don't know. Walmart store closures are a warning sign of a retail apocalypse. Other chains are facing the threat, say news sources, and economists are a little worried. Multi-million dollar corporation, it closed 9 stores so far this year. Could be a warning. Missouri AG Andrew Bailey joins us next.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. at the bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch a simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, if you're not listening to one of the hundreds of affiliates we got around the country. And we've been following, there's a lot of court cases to follow. We're in SCOTUS season, and we also got this Hunter Biden stuff, and we got some stuff with Missouri's AG, who is, by the way, now going to join us via Skype, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's one of our favorites out there in the fight. General, good to see you. Before I get into your court case, your ongoing fight with Planned Parenthood, which is because he's battling Planned Parenthood in the state of Missouri, I got to get your reaction to the conviction that came out of Delaware today of Hunter Biden. I kind of am worried that, you know, they're going to convict him of this, the easiest of charges, just because the harder ones all implicate Joe.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, great. You know, the Biden crime family should be indicted and convicted for multiple offenses. But you're correct in that they chose the lowest tier offense. I mean, filling out a document to obtain a firearm while, you know, abusing controlled substances. Like, yeah, that was the easiest one to prove. Hopefully that's not the end of this. You know, I think we see this time and time again in the two-tier justice system that if you have a D next to your name, you know, maybe they slap you on the wrist and you go about your business, or they just ignore you altogether. If you have an R against next to your name, they're going to throw the book at you. And so I am pleased that justice is served here and Hunter Biden stands convicted of a federal offense. This better not be the end, or we will continue to lose faith in our criminal justice system.
No, I agree with you on that. Talking to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey on just getting his opinion, the reaction to the Hunter Biden verdict, too, because the trial for the tax case, that doesn't happen until September. And this one, you know, about the 4473, I get it. You know, it seems like a lot of people are wondering, well, you know, the Cantor v. Barr case, you know, you shouldn't have, if they're nonviolent, whatever, it's an abridgment of the Second Amendment rights. But I don't look at it that way. Am I wrong in thinking that this is, General, this is what Democrats wanted. This is the law they wanted. They advocated for it. They grifted off of it. I feel like we're pointing out their hypocrisy by saying, well, you got to live under the law that you wanted all of us to follow, that you're now demanding exceptions for because it's the president's son.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's dripping with irony that the left causes problems by perverting or refusing to enforce the law and then demands that new laws be enacted that they will then also not enforce. It's kind of this like self-perpetuating cycle of problems that they cause. And yeah, no, I completely agree. Look, there's one standard of law. It's objective. It should apply to Hunter Biden just like it would apply to you and me. Obviously, Hunter Biden, there are other investigations that I believe should lead to further criminal proceeding. Mm-hmm. And if the DOJ ignores those other cases and says, oh, we got him on this, we're going to let him go on everything else, that will be a miscarriage of justice.
Yeah, on the laptop, we had 80-some-odd, you know, government bureaucrats, including heads of, you know, NSA, CIA, FBI, that were coming out saying, oh, this laptop is all fake, it's Russian misinformation. Then they admit it's real. Then it's entered into evidence at this court case. I feel like we're all owed an apology here.
Oh, I think it goes deeper than that, Dana. You're absolutely right. You know, it's part of Missouri v. Biden, our lawsuit against the federal government for censorship on big tech, which, by the way, we were within days of receiving an opinion from the United States Supreme Court. But in that case, we uncovered that the FBI was in possession of the Hunter Biden laptop 1 year before the story broke, knew of its authenticity, and then planted the seed of doubt with big tech social media, meeting with big tech social media moguls in Silicon Valley. With increased frequency in the days, weeks, and months leading up to that story breaking. And then there was a secret communication on the eve of the New York Post publishing that story that then caused that story to be suppressed. If that isn't election interference, I don't know what is. Let's put it in context. Alvin Bragg just convicted President Trump of using a law firm and saying that somehow using that law firm to contract to purchase a product was election interference because he intended to eliminate that information from public discourse during a campaign. Okay, if that is election interference, then how about stealing the Hunter Biden laptop, hiding it, and then telling everyone that it wasn't real? I mean, those individuals should be charged with a criminal offense as well.
You just gave me an idea, General, talking about election interference. Hillary Clinton, based in New York, purchasing a product from Fusion GPS and laundering this discredited stuff through the press to then get a surveillance warrant without disclosing that it's all information she paid for, would that not be considered election interference? And why was she never charged in the state of New York for that?
Well, I think to your earlier point about Hunter Biden and, you know, the law under which he's now stands convicted, the left wants to talk out of both sides of their mouth. Yeah. You know, they want these laws in place and they want to abuse those laws to go after political opponents, but then they don't like it when they get used against them. And the genie's out of the bottle at this point. They can't cry foul anymore. They're the ones that have abandoned actual law enforcement, abandoned, you know, on the streets of New York, the crimes that are going on in the subway and in the streets and the homelessness and the drug use and the murders and rapes in favor of weaponizing the criminal justice system to go after political opponents. So they can't now cry foul when Hunter Biden stands convicted and the right starts right. using the tools that are on the books, the legitimate plain text of the law to hold others accountable.
Yeah, they wanted the rule of the law. This is the rule of the law. This is the law that they wanted. We're talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's been in court fighting to stop Planned Parenthood from taking teens out of state for secret abortions. And this comes from this video that Project Veritas had put out where a 13-year-old girl taken into a Planned Parenthood by a male they're seeking an abortion. It was this video, this undercover, this investigation. And they were saying, well, we can't do it because it's illegal, but we can totally send you out of state and we can provide a letter and cut our letterhead off and do all of this other stuff to hide the fact that we're involved and we're making these referrals. 13 years old. I mean, the fact that they didn't stop and go, you're 13 years old and who are you? Are you her father? Like who are yeah. The fact that that was not even asked. These are women who didn't even ask this question. Where is their maternal instinct?
Mandatory reporters under the laws of the state of Missouri. A 13-year-old who is been subjected to sexual contact is a victim of a crime. A 13-year-old can't consent to sex under the laws of the state of Missouri. And so this organization was a mandatory reporter who had to report that to law enforcement for investigation and instead conspired to conceal that criminal offense in order to traffic minors out of state for abortions and forge documents in the process. I mean, this is absolutely deplorable behavior. Planned Parenthood has a long history in the state of Missouri of putting the destruction of human life ahead of the health and safety of women and children. They were doing it back when Josh Hawley was attorney general and he uncovered that they were using a moldy abortion machine on women. This is not a machine that was sitting in a corner. This is one that they refused to clean and then continued to use in these procedures. Under my predecessor, Eric Schmidt, he uncovered that they were refusing to comply with mandatory reporting laws as it relates to the procedures that they were performing and the necessary warnings to the patients. They weren't abiding by state statute. And now this, in late 2023, my office launched this lawsuit to get an injunction, is continuing to investigate this matter. And we're not going to let Planned Parenthood escape. They flaunted willful violations of the laws in the past. This is a documented history. And no one should be convinced that they have the best interests of or health of their patients at heart here. All they're interested in is the destruction of human life.
Well, and that's where they make the majority of their money. Everyone always says, oh, it's these other services. They make hand over fist, according to their own publicly reported financials. They make hand over fist at abortion. That is their number one moneymaker. So, you know, they're looking at it like, oh, this is our business, the destruction of life. They're wanting to protect it. But your point about they're mandatory reporters, that's a 13-year-old. That's a statutory rape offense. I mean, yeah. That girl is a victim. And then it makes you wonder, well, how many more instances, General, are there of this sort of age representation that we don't know about? Because, you know, child trafficking with the open border, this is a major issue. What have they seen that they're not reporting?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. That's why we need to push this lawsuit forward to put a stop to it. I mean, again, there's a presumption in the law that people don't brag about the commission of offenses. That's why there's a hearsay exception for a statement against interest. And that's exactly what was captured on the Project Veritas video. There were employees, agents of Planned Parenthood bragging about this criminal enterprise that conspires to violate the laws of the state of Missouri and traffic minors out of state for abortions without parental consent.
Yeah. I was reading that Planned Parenthood was asking the judge in this case to throw out the suit that's on this video. I realize they don't want to be litigated against, but I mean, it's pretty damning. I don't think you can just disregard this now.
No, I think that's absolutely right. You know, one of their arguments is that they have a First Amendment right to encourage people to get abortions, which
cutting off the letterhead is not a First Amendment. That's an action.
That's a forgery. That's making a false document, right? That's authenticating a false document. So yeah, look, the First Amendment does not extend to protect criminal behavior. And certainly that's what we have alleged in our petition. So we anticipate the judge will allow this lawsuit to move forward and we will continue to push it forward in order to obtain discovery and hold wrongdoers accountable.
Well, we appreciate your fight in protecting our kids to do this because that was just shocking. I watched that video twice and at no point did any of those women with their badges working there at Planned Parenthood show any kind of concern for the 13-year-old that was there looking at this older man that brought this girl in, not an ounce of concern for a crime that was committed against her, for the situation that she was in, for the manipulation she may be undergoing to even be there talking to them. Not a single ounce of concern. I mean, I don't know how, as a person or as a female or as anybody, as a health professional, that's whether they are or not is to be said. Could sit there in that situation and not immediately object and speak up to that? They talked to him like they were just, you know, like he was buying a car.
Dana, they were laughing and joking. I mean, they think it's a joke. They think the laws of the state of Missouri are a joke. They think the health and welfare of this young 13-year-old girl who came to them and reported to have been a victim of a sexual assault, they thought that was a joke. They thought it was funny. I mean, it is absolutely shameful. It's disgusting. But again, this is a pattern of behavior and should surprise no one. I mean, the veil has been lifted at this point. Anyone who comes to you and says that Planned Parenthood is providing legitimate health care is deceiving themselves.
Exactly. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, we so appreciate your fight against all of this, and we look forward to having you back and talking to you again soon. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your time.
We have more to come, folks, as we roll towards the conclusion of this third hour. And I think that, we're going to get into the sentencing. Biden speaking at the Moms Demand Action. Do they, though? That sounds like a movie title that Hunter Biden would watch. I think, yeah, Hunter Biden's got some Moms Demand videos. I'm sure he does. So Joe's talking now at this thing. We're gonna follow up.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Hey, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
What? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle. Okay, so we can keep... So you don't have any problem with semi-automatic rifles then. Okay, thanks. Bye. By the way, the idea that, well, they don't need... you need F-15s. You don't need a rifle. Don't tell the people of Vietnam. Right. Don't tell the people of Afghanistan, you absolute halfwit. Good heavens. Joe Biden, that was him speaking at a Moms Demand Everytown event. Flashback. Moms Demand, do you remember when one of their leaders was charged with disorderly conduct because she was at a bakery and the group of young girls came in? One of them was wearing a Trump shirt, and the Moms Demand leader, Kelly Burke from Harris County, got into their faces and lost her mind and screamed obscenities and all kinds of stuff. And it was on video, and she ended up she didn't really apologize for it. She said something smart aleck about it. And it was bad. And she's like one of the leaders of Moms Demand. He's speaking at that event. These two groups, Moms Demand and Everytown, were both created by Michael Bloomberg because he also created The Trace. And he wanted to create this astroturfed network of gun control groups to make it look like there was, and to try to fake it till you make it in terms of momentum for gun control activism. The Trace was supposed to be like a pseudo poser journalistic entity so that it could look like it has the gravitas of a journalistic integrity with it. And then the Moms Demand group he had created, and the URL was purchased, and he hired this like Monsanto shrill to head that and grift off of that. And then he had a couple of other shrills heading up the Everytown groups. And it's, they haven't moved the needle in gun control because they did not successfully get semi-automatic firearms banned. They do not have national red flag laws. They have not, and it's probably because their members are so nasty. Moms Demand actually reached out to abusers to try to use them to bully their victims into not supporting firearms. Happy to provide every receipt on that. They're a dirty, dirty group. They are happy to work with abusers when it benefits them. They're not really anti-gun because they hire armed private security. They'll do whatever the people who sign their checks tell them to do. And they do get paid. It's through a third party, and then they try to hide it. It's funny. So he was speaking at that event the same day that his son was charged for violating the laws that they love and they want everyone else to live under, except he thinks that he should get a special exception. But yet you know, Dexter Taylor sits in prison for nothing. But we're all supposed to be up in arms about Hunter Biden. So I love these contrarians that don't know the law that are out there. Well, you know, we shouldn't want these laws. Show me where you've said a damn thing about Dexter Taylor before you try to stunt off this to get some clout. Shut up. Pfft, nobody cares. No, these are the laws they wanted. I'm not going to get baited into this. You can get baited, but I'm not going to be. These are the laws they wanted. Whether or not you agree with them, they have to live under the laws that they demanded and that they demanded you and I, all of us, live under. But they want special exceptions. So after this, Joe's going to go to Delaware because he's already done for the week. He's spent for the week. They're going to have to hook him up to an energy machine or something because he wasn't going to go back to Delaware, but they changed his schedule and they announced that this morning. His schedule changed. So after this, he's going back to Wilmington. So isn't that interesting? He doesn't have any more energy. But yeah, he was talking about gun safety. He also apparently said that he was a professor at University of Pennsylvania, which he never was. And he also apparently claimed that he taught a con law class on the Second Amendment, which he never did. I don't know. We're going to wrap up his speech and have more on it tomorrow. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
No, it won't be that one. I'll play it from here. He was continuing to talk about guns. And have you heard of the government agency called the AFT? Because I haven't.
No, is it?
I've heard of ATF, but haven't heard of these guys. Listen to that.
You can't be pro-law enforcement and say you are pro-law enforcement and be pro-abolishing the AFT.
What?
All right, what's the over-under on how much time this guy's got left? Let's be real.
There's so much audio. There's so many sound bites. I don't even know how I'm going to deal. Anyway, we're going to have this because the show's over. We're going to wrap this up. I'm going to have some stuff later on. He apparently said that there's a gun that has 200 shells, that holds 200 shells. Where? Can I have it? Where do I buy it? Folks, have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.